we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here. Ooh, we're recording. I'm here with Steve Weed again from Steve Weed Media. What's up, dude?
Oh, you know, another day in paradise. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. So you're out there in the springs still, right?
Still in the springs. Yep. The lights are still on.
Nice, dude. So how are things going out there? What you got going on these days?
Pretty good. I mean, I certainly can't complain. Recently, I've been working on a podcast with some classic legend baseball players. Tommy John, a lot of people know him from the surgery. And then we did a podcast with Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, they call him. So that's been cool. You know, that was something kind of fell into my lap over the last couple months, but
that's neat. So how did, are you like helping them produce it or working behind the scenes, doing all the stuff behind the scenes? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, pretty much. All of the stuff that consists of, a friend of mine, that I had met when I was living in New York, had, you know, back in like December, it was like, hey, I'm trying to line up Tommy John. We want to try to, it all started with him. They're trying to get him into the Hall of Fame. Okay. So they're trying to like raise awareness about why he should be inducted and, you know, his stats. And so it's like, hey, we want to do this podcast, like try to promote it to get him inducted. So that's kind of how the whole thing started. And then it actually came together, you know, because at first it was like, yeah, we're having a hard time getting people on. And so now we have Reggie Jackson. And then on tomorrow, we've got Bucky Dent. Which is another legend Yankees player. And then that's okay. Big country stars lined up. I can't say too much about the other people yet because they're still kind of in limbo, but some of them are some pretty big names.
Cool.
So it's kind of exciting. Yeah. So it's cool. It's nice to hear some of these stories. I mean, it was before our time, you know, 70s, early 80s stuff. But you know, they're World Series champs. And
so this,
you
know, just so cool started. It's a new, what's the name of the podcast?
It's called Rubbing Elbows with Tommy John.
Okay. And then, So somebody from New York that we know started it originally, or how did it come to fruition?
Yeah, his name's Mac. he was living in New York for a while. He did the Clayton Country Jam. I don't know if you remember that event, which was actually before I moved to Colorado, the real main country main comedy event that we had produced. He did a music show and then he also did a comedy show to raise money for the Fort Drum troops. Yeah. So yeah, and he approached me and he was just like, yeah, we need to produce it. I know you can do better than what I could do because he's using like iMovie and things like that. So I was like, yeah, whatever I can do to help, let me know. That'd be pretty cool. And so here we are.
Okay. So they had been doing it for a little bit and then kind of brought you in to help with the bring up the production value a little.
Yeah. Tommy was doing like his own thing, you know, just kind of like recording it on his phone and posting it. And, you know, it was fine. But it was just kind of like cell phone recordings. There wasn't much production value added to it. So they brought me in and now we got a couple split screens and some transitions and adding in videos and little things like that to spice it up.
Rubbing elbows. Okay. I like that, dude.
Cool. Yeah. So it is pretty cool, man. Like these guys just talk about the days of old and, you know, playing in the World Series and just when, like, holy crap, you know.
When do they release episodes and is it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts? Where can you find that?
I actually have one round of edits left on this first one and then that'll be done. And then we're recording the second one tomorrow. So probably sometime next week. And we're still finalizing the locations, but probably Spotify, YouTube. Probably posting on Facebook and probably some other platforms as well, but yeah, so we're still kind of hammering out where we want to put it. But
so this is fresh, hot off the presses right here, huh?
Unreleased.
Okay, cool, dude. So what else? You're still working with like hockey teams and stuff like that, weren't you doing stuff with the hockey team?
Yeah, I was working with Colorado College. I'm not working with them anymore. You know, they went in a different direction when they built the new arena, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
You know, so something I was supposed to be involved with, but you know, just the way business goes sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, one door closes, another one opens, as they say. So, just looking for my next opportunity in the sports world. So, I've been reaching out to all sorts of different people and organizations, just trying to line up some sports stuff. But the last big sports event I did was in November of last year. I did the Houston Vert Ramp, which was a 3-day skateboarding event. It's not a competition, but it's like 2 days of partying, 3 days of skateboarding. This dude, his name's Scott. He's got his own huge, massive vert ramp. It's called the Banger in the Hangar because he has an airplane hangar over.
Okay. Banger in
the Hangar. Yeah. So it's just, yeah. So it's just, it's one of those just like rad for skateboarders by skateboarders events. It's not a competition, but like we had Tony Hawk come out, Andy Mack, Rune Glifberg, like a lot of the guys from the Tony Hawk games.
Oh, Bobby wow.
Lassick okay. was there. Yeah. So, I mean, these guys come because they love the vibe because it's just a, there's no pressure. It's not a competition. They're just there to skate,
just have fun,
a good time, have fun, you know, schmooze okay. with the people. It's limited ticket sales. So like, it's not overly crowded. Everybody kind of knows everybody to a certain degree. You know, like if you don't know this guy, somebody in your circle probably knows that guy. So the vibe is just really good. Like you don't yeah. have to worry about anything. Like security is pretty nil and it's on this guy's property. So like pretty much anything goes.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, it's not like you're at like the YMCA and you gotta like really watch what you're doing. So it was
so
super rad, you know?
I've seen you get really involved in the production and a lot of like skate events. How yeah. did you start? I mean, I know you skated all growing up, but how did you get into that world where you're actually, you know, there with Tony Hawk and stuff?
I know, you know, if my 13-year-old self, you know, I had told him
dreaming
that he'd be
in
doing
their
that
pants
someday,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. But it all started with when I first moved here, they had a competition called the Rocky Mountain Rampage, which was a nonprofit organization's event that they did to like raise money and give back to the community. And so I just moved here and I saw that it was happening. So I just emailed them, was like, hey, I want to get involved however I can. I do video work, but I'm like willing to like set up tents and like whatever, just because yeah. I'm like down for skateboarding. I just want to get involved. And then, you know, long story short, they're like, you have actually equipment, you know, we're bringing in these guys from St. Louis, so maybe you could do it instead. And I was like, yeah, I've got all the same stuff as they've got. So they're like, hey, let's try it. So, I did that event and it went well. It was a 3-day event, you know, vert, bowl, street. And then some people that were competing in that, her name's Amelia. She's an Olympic, skateboarder, female skateboarder. She was like, hey, I do my own event in, San Diego. I'd love to have you come out and do that. It's called Exposure, blah, blah, blah.
I remember
so
that.
That led to Exposure. So I did Exposure for 2 years. And while I was at Exposure, another guy was like, hey, we do this event called Clash at Claremont. Love to have you come out.
Nice.
So that led to Clash at Claremont. So that was like the big one. That was like the holy crap. Like, this is big time. You know, we ran like 2,000 feet of cable. We covered all this different area of the park. It was skater cross. It was 8 hours of mayhem. Black Flag was there. So like Mike Vallely. Yeah, they were like playing and jamming the whole time at the bowl and just like, people are moshing. It was just nuts.
That's cool.
So then, you know, the pandemic hit and all that stuff got.
Yeah.
Like everything went virtual, events are canceled, didn't do much. And then fast forward to like 2021, I get a call from Scott who was like, yeah, I was, you know, talking to Chris, who was the one that hired me for Clash. And he was like, hey, I'm looking to, you know, improve my stream. Who should I call? And Chris was like, call Steve. He's just down for it, you know, like he'll do the job for you.
Yep.
And so he called me and it was just like, yeah, let's go. So I brought Nick, you know, Nick LaGorga.
Yep, Nick
and,
LaGorga.
My buddy Mike. So we piled everything into a van. We rented a van. We drove 14 hours down to Houston, set up, did the damn thing, you know, dealt with a few issues, you know, because it was wet and had a cable burn up and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we had worldwide distribution. We actually streamed to Tony Hawk's Ride Channel, you know, 1.8 million subs.
What?
Yeah, so they gave me the back end access to the Ride Channel, and
you're like, all right, I'm just gonna put in a little Trojan horses in here that pop Steve Weeb Media up every now and then.
Hire Steve, hire Steve. But that's how that whole thing came. You know, it's just like one thing led to another, led to another, led to another, and then just kind of just doing the best kind of work you can to hope that you get brought back.
That's pretty cool. I mean, and I know in the beginning you said you were, you know, really putting yourself out there, and that's something that you. That is pivotal in becoming successful, especially moving to a new area where you don't know anyone. So you were, you know, actively pursuing anything to get your hands into that world. And one email ended up being the difference between, you know, I guess a life-changing email, right?
I mean, even if nothing comes of it in the future, you know, it's like those are experiences that
I'll never
forget, that I would have never gotten staying in Watertown, you know? Yep. So it's just one of those things. But I mean, I'm kind of getting right back to my roots with that. Like, it's been been kind of slow. You know, winter and spring are always my slowest time. So I use it to like rebuild the website and, you know, do all the stuff that kind of gets put on the back burner when I'm producing all year. So now I'm like backwards. Like, I just want to start creating again. I want to get out and start filming and get some new clients. And so I'm right back to where it's like, well, hey, let me come do a demo. Let me do, you know, it's not as dire of a circumstance this time around because I have, you know, some financial setup that, you know, when I first got here, I was broke. I had nothing lined up. At least now I'm in a better situation where it's like, I don't need to go out and, you know, pay the bills. And I mean, I still need to pay the bills, but I don't need to like make money this month to like cover it. So I'm just in a little bit of a different boat financially where it's like the pressure isn't there. So it's more about just like, let me like just do something I want to do and create some stuff. And so I'm right back to it. You know, it's like, you know, right back to the roots of how this whole thing began. It's kind of funny how it goes full circle where it's like, you know, for years I didn't have to do anything, you know, just getting calls and emails. And so now I'm just like, I want to try to do something different and get some new clients and see what happens.
Okay. Do you want to stick with the sport? Do you like doing the sport like production?
I do. It's a lot of work though, man. I mean, I'm not getting any younger. It's just, I love it, you know, and I want to continue
gig? What would you like to do or just see yourself doing that would just be fun? Something fun, a fun project that you'd like to do.
Probably like sports-based stuff. I mean, I'd say probably still sports-based. I've been heavy into crypto you know, I'd love to get involved in the crypto space somehow, whether it's working for a company or like integrating it into what I'm doing. So I'm starting to play around with like NFTs and, you know, things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, the sports production's awesome. I mean, you get access to things that people don't normally get access to.
Oh yeah.
You're in these arenas, you're in these venues early days in advance or whatever the case may be. So it's just fun to be able to do that kind of stuff, but it is a lot of work. So I know I'm just not gonna be able to do it forever. Yeah. You know, I've still got quite a few years left. So there's gas in the tank, but you know, just thinking down the road, it's like, I need to get into a position where I'm not like lugging everything in by myself and, you know, I need to get, you know, some help and some people. And so that would be my ideal circumstances. Like I got a small crew, you know, they're kind of like helping me set the stuff. Cause right now I'm still solo. It's like when I do these events, it's like, other than Houston where I'm bringing two people with me, which is still a ton of work. I mean, it could have been, I mean, that's like a 10-man job, you know, we did with three.
That's always incredible. I mean, how you always pull that off. Like, you're like, man, we should have had a whole boatload of people, but we just hammered it out.
Yeah. You know, it's budgets and scheduling and
the difference between you willing to just put in like the extra work or do stuff that, you know, other people would be like, I'm not going to do that because that's beneath me or what, you know, it's a good mindset to have where you're like, I don't care what it is. I'll lug cord. I'll, you know, run wire. I'll do this. You'll do it. I'll sweep the floor.
100%. Yeah. We actually did have to sweep a little bit at that last one, but yeah, I mean, my famous line is I have enough ambition for two people, you know, like that's always like my mindset is like, if that guy's not willing to do it, I am. You know, if he's not willing to work that hard, I am. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is where, you know, some of the successes came too, is just keeping the ball rolling. But there's a lot of work left to be done. But yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is just like, am I going to say no to some of the grunt work to not get the experience?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I would, if I had said no to like Houston Vert Ramp because it was like a lot of work and a long drive and like some of the stuff, like, I don't know, just that experience was something you can't even buy. Like you can't even, it's just, you either get it or you don't get it, you know? So very fortunate for sure.
It's funny how easy it is to stick out or just be ahead of people work-wise. If you just put in a little extra effort, you're way ahead of most people. Like this shared office space that I'm in, I work online, I do websites and stuff. So I never meet with people. So I'm just wearing like ripped up sweatshirts and sweatpants and crap. And this guy from a lawyer firm here, he just walked by one day or yesterday. He's like, what do you do, man? I'm like, I do a bunch of stuff, but I do like websites and stuff mostly. And he's like, I thought so. He's like, I see a lot of people here doing that, but they only like work 9 to 5. He's like, I see you here all the time. So that's the kind of person I want. He's like, I have a bunch of stuff that I'm going to need done, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, I'm not dressed any way, shape or form, like presentable for a work environment. Like, but just being there, you know, being willing to put in extra work outside of what the norm is, people notice that, you know?
Yeah. And the ones who notice it are the ones you want to go after anyways, you know, you know, there's, there's the right client. I mean, there's all these clients, but then there's like the right clients, you know, like that's something that in the beginning, I didn't have the luxury of, yes. of picking and choosing. It's like, I'm just taking anything yeah. that I get yeah. because I need the money and I've got yeah. bills. But like, after you get to a certain point where you get enough traction, you can be like, hey, is that somebody I want to work with?
Exactly.
And if the answer is no, or like, you know, they're being difficult or just they're asking for a lot or their budget's low and they're still being demanding. It's like, you
know, you're like, sure, I'll film the Titanic for $100.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, you know, 5 years ago, it's like, where's my life jacket? Like,
yeah.
Give me my plank of wood and I'm out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there.
I'll be an extra. So I'll film. I'll yeah, see the ship. Like I'll be the ship.
Just make sure that check, please. Yeah, exactly. yeah. So it's funny how that kind of thing works, but yeah, those are the ones where it's like they recognize it and they're like, I don't care if he doesn't look the part, like he's got the character that I want, you know, because like if he looks at you and it's like your clothes are not like up to spec, it's like, well, that has nothing to do with your work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So if you're that shallow, it's like, well, all right, then I might not want to be working with you anyways, regardless yeah. of what you're going to bring to the table and pay me or whatever, you know. So
it's just funny. I don't know. I've always been like that, where I'm just like, I have the shittiest clothes and my wife's like, would you just buy new clothes? She's always buying me clothes because I refuse to buy it. She's like, that shirt is falling off you. I'm like, I don't care. She's like, you're going to an office building. You're supposed to look presentable. I'm like, I don't care. I want to be comfortable because I'm going to be there a long time.
I'm the same way. Like, I literally just bought some shirts this year. Like, I was like, man, I'm going to do this thing and I should probably look halfway decent, you know?
Yep.
I should, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I'd rather spend my money on gear. And yes. like, I'm like, well, I could like spend $100 on shirts, or I could buy like extra, whatever, like put that money towards literally anything else that's production related. So
I know
a lot
boxers,
of times what happens is like, I'm just going to buy it. Yeah.
My boxers look like a thong, but I don't need new ones. They're fine.
I get another couple of years out of these.
Just one thread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Good. It's, hey, you know, but that's the dedication that we have, you know, like that's like a differentiator, you know, and I think there's a lot of people that would like go buy new kicks and go buy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah. I think, you know, for some people, like that's the fine line of like getting the shit you need versus like, you know, buying, you know, stuff that's a liability. Essentially.
Exactly.
You
know, like, and I like clothes, to buy shoes, stuff that's cars, gonna make whatever. Me money. That's either going to yep. add to what I'm doing or put it back in my business or whatever. And I mean, I've $10 pair of shoes from Walmart. Like I hate spending money on clothes. Hate it.
But that pair of shoes is gonna last you 9 months, maybe. You know,
dude,
and then
I'll
it's like
it
so if you go spend $100. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll make it last. But by the book, it's like you should be buying a new pair of shoes when your soul gets X amount of thickness and whatever. But it's like, yeah, we're gonna ride it out, you know, like we're gonna make that thing last. But yeah, there's a good aspect to that though. So I think, you know, in today's world, like a lot of people just go buy the stuff that's like a, you know, like a social media statement mm-hmm. or like I'm posting it on Instagram to like get clout and, you know, likes. And there's so much of that where it's like, who are you really trying to impress? You know, like the people you should be trying to impress are, you know, especially in the work, and you know, talk about work stuff. It's like clients, like, are they going to care what kind of shoes you have? Like some maybe, but like a lot of them, no, they're going to look at your work and be like, is this work any good?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
so I mean,
see he's posting fancy photos, but does he actually do a good job?
You know, and some people have it like that, where it's like, you know, they can buy whatever they want, but like for those that like struggle like we do, or like started out struggling like we mm-hmm. did, you know, it's like you got to make some tough decisions at one point or another, and you know, like I probably could have spent a few $1,000 on frivolous stuff and then not had some of the gear that I have today.
Yeah,
that helps me get work and do good work, and you know, for me, a lot of the times it's like I get a gig where they're like, hey, we have to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, I don't have X, Y, and Z, but I'll buy it.
Yeah.
That's
how
I accumulate, you know, and like over the years, I get more and more stuff. And now I've got this whole room full of junk that, well, not junk, but stuff that, you know, just over the years I've acquired. And, you know,
now
so
you can produce anything.
It's a slow grind. Yeah. Well, I'm trying.
So funny. So, what do you any big projects coming up? What do you got going on?
Not any huge projects. I mean, really just kind of planning and trying to position myself right now. I've been talking with a football league about doing some work for them. I'm not sure if that's going to pan out or not. Might just not be the right fit for me. But right now I'm for the first time in a long time, I've kind of got like an open slate, an open calendar. So I'm really just trying to utilize it. It's not a bad thing. You know, I've got stuff, you know, a few months out, but, ever since I've been here, it's been like nonstop, no breaks. So I'm gonna take a little vacation. I'm gonna go back. I haven't seen my dad in 2 years.
Oh, you, know, so you haven't been back to Watertown in 2 years?
No, since August of 2020. So like just under 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. And then, you know, before that it was a couple of years. So I mean, I've only seen my dad a handful of times over the last 6 years.
Get up there now. Go see your dad.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna try to take, you know, take some time and do that and just, you know, like I mentioned earlier, just like do some stuff for me, you know. And you, so often you like get into this professional grind and it's like, I'm doing stuff that I don't necessarily, I, you know, it's not that I don't mind doing it, but like, it's not like my passion. Like I'm doing corporate work, which is fine. You know, I love all my clients, but like I want to film something for me. Like if I can film anything, go out and do anything, like what would I do? So I'm starting to get to that where it's like, let me just do something fun that like doesn't feel like a job project to me. So I'm going to
use time for some of that. Why you got into it in the first place, you know,
exactly.
Do whatever it is that you, that drawn you, brought you to this field.
That's exactly it. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And then in the meantime, you know, I'm just hoping that that might kind of be the catalyst for some other stuff down the road and later in the year. But yeah, for me, just kind of like putting myself in a good position to do some more work. And we should be doing the skateboarding event this year. So we've got some stuff coming down the pike later on. But the next few months, I'm just going to be filming, just trying to get out there. It's nice now, you know, get the drone out, just do some of the stuff that I enjoy.
Nice. What what would that project be? I know you like, what are you thinking that you're trying to do?
I'd really love to film like a full on skate park, like link up with somebody that skates. It's pretty decent. You know, I want to, right now, what I want to do is all the work that I want to do for the next couple months, that's just like personal projects. I want it to benefit somebody, you know? So I'm going to start putting the feelers out. Like, does anybody know a business that could really benefit? You know, like that doesn't have a budget for a video that could really use a video. And then just see like, well, what do you need? Is there something I could do? What is it going to take? And then just see if it's going to help somebody. So like, there's a skateboarder out there that comes across this, that's been like, hey, I really need a sponsor video. Well, let's try to produce one, you know, like, and then, so whatever I do, I want it to be not just a go out, shoot, post it, get kudos and a pat on the back. Personally, like I'd love for it to be a beneficial thing for somebody else.
Okay.
It'll be a feel good thing for me, but yeah, but then you also have the passion on the other side. It's not just me approaching somebody like, hey, let me come film you skating. It's like, this person like really wants and needs a video. So they're going to have the same passion and grind and effort being put in as me wanting to do the video. Or like a business that's like, man, we could really use a commercial, but we have no money. It's like, cool. You would really appreciate this. You could really benefit from it. And then I'll benefit from doing it. So it's like a win-win. So I think those are the situations that I'm going to put myself in.
Plan on just putting that out on Facebook, or how are you going to put it out there that that's what you're offering that up to people?
Yeah, I already did. And actually I didn't even get like any interaction on it. So I don't know if people just didn't see it or thought, you know, like maybe it's too good to be true, or
well, are a lot of your,
put it back out there.
Are a lot of your people on Facebook, are they in the Springs area, or are you trying to do something in specifically in near that area, or are you trying to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it to Springs, but I don't want to, you know, travel too far for stuff that's free. I mean, Denver probably is like, I mean, Denver's probably the gas, man. I mean, it's
no,
it's
wild, exactly.
You know,
but approach like the Chamber of Commerce or something, or you know, somewhere in the city, and tell them that, hey, this is what you do. I'm looking for a business or an individual that's looking for some sort of project that doesn't necessarily have the funds to do so, and I'd like to offer my services. If you, they could probably put you in a newsletter or something, or a, you know, an email blast to their whole Chamber of Commerce. I mean, that would be a good in there too.
Yeah, and I actually know some of those guys down there. So I think now, since I did the post and it kind of like didn't get any traction at all, I think I'm just gonna do like a big giveaway, like a legitimate giveaway, like the page, share the post, tag a business below to be nominated, something like that. It's like I get some likes and get some traction from that, but I think it'll add some legitimacy to it where people are like, oh, it's an actual contest from this business, and you know, then approach, you know, like the BBB who I work with and the chamber who I've worked with and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. If you guys, because you know, I mean, they would probably have a much better handle. So that's kind of like the approach that I'm going with right now. Is just, I put up a random post, didn't get any traction.
like, I'm like, trying to give away like, something here, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously, like I didn't even get like a like on it. Like nobody even likes this. Like, oh man, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm in a rougher spot than I thought.
No one likes
Man. Yeah, like literally like nobody even
contemplating
liked it,
so your whole existence.
I'm gonna delete this post and just it never even happened. Same idea, but different approach. So yeah, I'm gonna hit up some of those other ones and do a giveaway and be like, well, I'm just gonna get some likes and you know, see what happens. And if I get busy, I get busy, you know, but I'd like to do some kind of like give back projects. And you know, honestly, I'm probably to a point where I've gotten enough given to me and like enough opportunities given to me where I should be, you know, paying it forward. And yeah, you know, like I'm no longer, it's not like I need the money at this point, you know, like it was when I was first starting, like I said earlier, you know, so I can do it and feel good about it.
Well, you know, the struggle too. So you're looking at it now, like, okay, I made it through. What can I do to help somebody who's on the other side of that still and needs a little drag over, which is cool. That's really cool that you're looking at it from that perspective and being able to, you know, like, hey, let me help somebody else out. I like it.
Well, I remember like the first 2 years I was, you know, in the red, like I was not profitable. I was mm-hmm. losing money, you know, yeah. And if it wasn't for my wife and my savings, I wouldn't have made it at all. I mean, it was just 2 years of just not enough. I was working, yeah. but just not enough. So I remember every time someone was like,
not
yeah,
working,
we'll hire
not
you.
Enough, but not yeah. making enough, right? Because you're probably working 24/7. Like
it was all, I mean, I was, yeah, working constantly, but yeah. just like not, you know, just like not sending emails and like trying to get stuff. Yeah, it was all for free. So it was yeah. like, it was a rough time. But like anytime somebody's like, yeah, we'll cut you a check and we'll hire you for this. I mean, I'll never forget those people and those businesses where it's yeah, we'll take a chance on this guy that has no reputation in the Springs. Has only been here for 6 months, has no portfolio, has no crew. He was working out of the house.
Yep.
You know, it's like all of those things are like red flag, red flag, red flag.
But I mean, they and can yet, tell your spirit, I am. Man. You can, they can tell that you're, you know, where you're coming from and that you're, you want to enjoy the work. You take pride in your work and you're going to do everything in your power to get it done. And that's just how you come off. So people yeah. see that and that's very noticeable. So and that's the difference too, is that like, all the things that you did to become successful are, it's not that hard. It's like, oh, you sent some extra emails. You went and, you know, went out into the community and talked to people and did that. It's not rocket science. It's not that hard. It's just a matter of being consistent and keep doing it, even when you're not getting results right away. And that's the difference.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I get 90% no's, you know, mm-hmm. like, of all the emails I send that are like, hey, I just want to touch base, or like any inquiry emails that I like cold calls, essentially, I mean, you get 90-95% either no response or no, we're not looking or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting told no all day, and it's not necessarily about my work or like what I'm doing. It's just sometimes, a lot of times they just don't need it, or they exactly. don't know what they need. And mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, and you know, I've spent $0 on advertising marketing since I've been here. Like literally good. Nothing. So to your point, it's like anybody that might hear this be like, oh, I want to start a business and get it going. It's like, well, you can, like you yeah. said, it doesn't cost you anything. I mean, there's some things that startup cost for your business, but like, as far as like getting business, mm-hmm. You can do it the easy way, which would probably cost you money, or you can do it the hard way, which is going to be a much harder grind and maybe take a little bit longer, but it's possible.
And you're going to be exhausted, and it's going to suck because you're going to get told no all the time, and you're going to go do
but
stuff for
the option
people
is there. You know,
they'll be like, I know you did this for free, but can you do it this way instead? And you're like, I hate you.
but yes.
But yeah.
but yes, yes. Like, yeah.
Yes, I'll do it.
A little part of me just died, but it's okay. We'll do it your way.
Yeah. and then you're like,
but it's
I
true.
Just spent
$1,000
for them to do their project.
Yeah, I have 2 months into this project. Now you want me to do it all over again? Like, yeah, sure. It's all good. Like, I don't have a life, so it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just a robot. I'm actually a clone.
Yeah. I work 23 hours a day, so I've got plenty of time.
Yeah. I only need about 10 minutes of shut eye, so we're
yeah, sorry. Yeah. Just plug me into the wall and I'll be good.
Oh, that's funny. So Nick LaGorga's still out there, right? Or no, is he somewhere else now?
Bro, he's somebody you need to get on the podcast, man.
Yeah, I want to get him on. I had him on there at one point, but I want to get him on here again.
I know he would be a fantastic follow-up because I don't know if you've talked to him recently, but I'm about to give him a big plug. So this dude,
send him the link. See if he just joins right now. I'm gonna send him
the Zoom link.
Yeah, I'm gonna send him the Zoom link. But go ahead, keep talking. Tell him about hop on.
So this dude has been just doing odd jobs since he moved to Colorado, you know, working for different companies and like, but always kind of like staying in the music realm. And, you know, he'd ask me about like running a business and he's seen what I've been doing. And so for Houston last year, well, before that, he had entered this contest as a startup competition up in Hayden, Colorado, and he won 10 grand. He won a $10,000 grant, won first place, what? Got 10 G's. Yep. So he had pitched this business to like start an entertainment company up in Hayden to like bring music acts and like entertainment to the town of Hayden. Cause they're in like this big, like growth stage right now. Like everybody in Steamboat, it's like overly packed. So they're kind of like spilling over to Hayden cause it's like 20 minutes away. So the Valley is really getting like a lot of traction from tourists and like people wanting to watch shows. And they've got a lot of locals there that are just like, we don't want to have to drive to Steamboat to see like some live music, you know? So he pitched this thing, won, got the 10 grand. And then he quit his job, quit all of his regular, you know, he had benefits, quit his job to go to Houston with me. So he's like, if I go to Houston, I got to quit my job. I can't get the time off. I'm like, dude, I mean, I was one of the, you know, one of the ones I was like, look, man, I think you should do it. I think you should quit, you know, and like do your own thing. Like just as somebody that's doing my own thing, like,
yeah,
I think you'd really love it. I think you'd be really good at it. And he's one of those that like, it's not a micromanager, but like he likes it done his way.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like the sign of a business owner. It's like, you yeah. want it done your way. They'll start your own business, man. You know, like yeah. then it will be, everything will be your way. Like that is the kind of person that's like a leader, not a follower kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was in October, he won the grant. He quit his job in November. Now he's got a full schedule. Like I literally have to schedule time to like talk to him on the phone, like
really?
Weeks in advance. And I'm like his best friend. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, he's put me on the calendar to like shoot the shit. And it's like, yeah, man, like April 8th, I'm free. And it's like March 20th. I'm like, all right, well, put me down, dude. Like,
pencil me in, man.
Like, yeah, that's literally what I said. Like, well, pencil me in, dude. Like, cause I'm not gonna pass up the time. You know what I mean? If that's what you got, that's what you got. So he's taken this thing in like 6 months, man, less than 6 months.
So is he putting on events or how, what exactly is it? Just
putting on events, live music, shows. He's doing video stuff. You know, he's shooting like little commercials for the people that sponsor. So he went out, he got all the sponsorship. He's organizing all the shows. He bought all the equipment. He's doing all the setup for the production, like the musical side of stuff. Oh, here he is.
Oh, here he is.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? We're just talking shit about you.
Word. Sorry, I just got audio. Were you guys just talking shit about me?
Yeah. That's exactly
yes.
what we're doing.
Yes, we were.
No, he was just telling me about the grant you won and everything you got going on with the business you're starting.
Yeah, can I just say this? I expected you guys to not be looking all professional like you were doing a podcast. You got a microphone, Weedy's all dressed up in his fucking office.
I told him he didn't need to dress up, believe me.
I thought it was just you guys saying happy Easter. I'm pooping right now.
Oh, dude, I love that. I was about to ask if you're pooping. Nice.
I do have pajama bottoms on, if that makes a difference. You
have a fucking dress on with you don't want me to do that right now.
I mean, if we're going to keep it real, I mean, I'm only half professional at the moment.
That's so funny, dude. That's so funny.
I feel ashamed.
Dude, so I mean, how did that whole process start? You signed up for this contest and pitched your idea and won. What was the contest called?
Tell you what, it's a gift to living in a small town because somebody put together a business pitch competition for a grand prize of $10,000, a second place prize of $3,000, and third place was $1,000. And they didn't even get 15 contestants. They wanted 15 people to enter. And they even opened it up to people who already owned businesses that wanted the money just to like enhance their business. And I think it was me against 11 other people. And then on the last day that you could submit, I convinced my fiance to put together a business plan to enter because I just wanted to double our odds of
yeah
there's only like 20 people in this town. So only 12 of them wanted to own a business. But yeah, pretty much just had to put together like a PowerPoint presentation. And the hardest part was limiting myself to only talking for like 3 minutes, I think I had. But yeah, it's a small town. So my business was, I kept kind of putting the pressure on them saying, I want to do live entertainment. So if you guys, if you own a coffee shop, you benefit from me. If you own a bar, you benefit from me. If you own, I bring live music and get a professional audio and lighting designer. So if we can get people to come from other towns, you've got people bringing money from other towns, spending it in our town, so on and so forth. And yeah, smoked the competition, man. I don't even think anybody.
That's pretty cool. I hope to show you, there's so many grants out there that people don't even try to, like, what, like you said, a handful of people actually submit to do it, and they're giving free money away. Right. So just by showing up, dude, you showed up and you showed out and you made 10 grand because you fucking submitted something, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, there's like business grants throughout the state all the time, but the competition's like real high, right? Mm-hmm. Some people have like experienced this and they're like, oh, I could definitely use $50,000, whatever. When a small town does it, when a small town is just like, yeah, we have this check, just bring us your best idea. The people that I competed against were like a honeybee farmer, someone who wanted to open a small coffee shop, like really, really small town stuff. So it's like, it was good. I'm glad. I hope they do it again.
That's so cool. So how many, like, what events do you have going on or planned up in the future here?
I've got my fifth concert coming up on April 30th. Just like a somewhat local reggae band. I just bought a new lighting rig for, so it's the first time we're going to test out lighting rigs and hazers and lasers in this little town I live in.
Is there, where do you do the concerts at, like a little stadium or a fairgrounds type thing or?
No, so that was the other part of my Ponzi scheme, was like, I don't have any, I don't own any property. Yeah. So the way the newspaper worded it was, I'm a venueless venue. So I approached a woman up the street that had a huge warehouse.
Okay.
And similar to like New York in the early 1990s, I just went to a dusty warehouse and like, nice.
Through a rain.
Swept and mopped everything, convinced them to put like an up-to-date heating. I don't even know if there's like fire alarms. Like, I don't even know if we have smoke detectors in this room. It's really backyard-ish. But to date, we've had about, I think I've sold almost 500 tickets to the 4 shows that I've had.
Oh, cool.
And then, like I said, we got the 5th show coming up. But I pretty much just convince people that are own property to let me come onto their property, put on the event, and then I split the profits with them.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So you found a way to take not having a space and then just adapting, overcoming, and finding a way to get yourself a space. So you're hitting all these roadblocks, but you're constantly finding a way around them, which is, you know, what a business owner does, what an entrepreneur does. So many people would just be like, well, I don't have a space. See you later. Like, too bad.
Yeah, no, and it's been nice because most of the people out here like want live entertainment. Like, they were all pretty vocal about that before I joined that business pitch competition. And that's kind of where the idea developed. I'm like, well, you guys have the space. Why don't you just buy the shit to do it? Like, you're talking, like, yes, it's a big investment in the beginning, a PA system, but you get local bands. I mean, I've had people that have offered to play for free. So it's like, it's once you have like the two main ingredients, it's a pretty simple process to do, but nobody wants to do it. Everybody who owns a business already has a business they're trying to operate. So the lady who owns the coffee shop that opened up the warehouse, like, she's already running a coffee shop and a restaurant. So that's where I saw kind of the one hand washes the other scenario, where I was like, oh, I could partner up with these people and just, you know. So, yeah.
That is so cool, dude. I'm glad to see that you're out there killing it, man.
Dude, he's crushing it.
Taking a big shit, about, too. And
I don't know about killing him. I'm being kind of lazy. I'm trying to take the approach of, like, I only want to work 2 days a week.
Well, yeah. We all
do. Yeah, but how is that working for you?
I'm actually trying to free up time to start doing some amateur stand-up comedy. So I don't know if you're still in the circuit.
We just got to Waco. I'm trying to get back in here in Waco. So I haven't been.
You moved to Waco, Texas?
Yeah. Well, we've been we sold our house. We bought an RV. I work remotely now. Everything that I do. So we've been traveling around in an RV the last year and a half. So we started in Watertown, bought the RV up there, just drove down the East Coast all the way across the country. We were up in Arizona and California and stuff, and some parts of Colorado, like the southwest part of Colorado. And then we had to get out of California. We're like, all right, let's go wash this California off with some good old American Texas. Get this California off us. So we got into Texas and we're like, gosh, you're so good. Like, get that off me. So, we found the Waco area, and it's really cool because it has a small town vibe to it, but the downtown area is pretty big. It's got like a very big downtown, but it's a lot of the old warehouses and factories and stuff that they've converted into coffee shops and breweries and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. But it's, the housing market hasn't been hit here like it has, you know, a lot of the country, and it's on the verge of exploding. So we like this area. Plus I'm trying to start a cult, so figured Waco's a good spot to do a second swing at it, you know.
you're in Waco, the housing market's out. Babe, what's the name of that show where, like, Chip and some other lady, the married couple, build houses for people?
It's like that HGTV show, Chip and Joanna.
Fixer Gaines. Upper, yeah.
Yeah, Fixer, yeah. They were, bro, that, yeah, they've get on Fixer so much, Upper. Right?
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, we've been living out of an RV. We just cleaned all the California off of us. We're trying to
set. It is a good story.
Dude. Man, I'm going to put the phone down for a minute. I've got to complete this task.
It has been like I feel like it's been like a half hour.
Right. He's like, dude, it's drying on there right now.
That's when the bidet comes in handy.
Yeah, right. It's like, I feel like I have cement hardening on my butthole. Can you please give me 1 second?
Yeah, Duff, that is actually super exciting because, you know, you had some good traction with the comedy thing when you flew me out. Which was, yep, like one of the, dude, that whole job like kept me going at one, really, point. So like, nice. Oh yeah, like that was right when I got out here. It was like one of my like really bad periods, and like it was like just enough to like keep me going. But the shows that you were putting together, I felt like had all the right pieces. Yeah, like you were still lacking the venue. Like that, yep, was the one thing. You're always like moving around, doing it in different places. So dude, you open, let you get your own spot.
Yeah,
I feel like you're gonna do really good with that.
Yeah, and that's so after that one we had in South Carolina, we did that other one in North Carolina, which was, but we just tried it too quick. We tried to do the next event too quick. So I think we only gave us like 5 or 6 months in between that other event. And we had this venue set up. The mayor gave us this space in the small little town in North Carolina. We had all these vendors set up for selling alcohol and stuff. And we didn't realize, because we told the mayor, like, hey, we want to do, you know, sell alcohol. And he's like, oh, let me ask the board or whatever. It should be fine. Didn't realize that this was a dry county. So it was like a big deal, apparently, that we were doing this. So,
oh my God.
And the mayor was told us, like, oh, everyone, you know, in the town shows up when we have an event here, blah, blah, blah. We're supposed to do it like a Friday evening and then a Saturday, 2 days. He ended up, the Saturday got canceled, so we only were doing it on the Friday night. Nobody showed up, like zero people, other than the people that showed up for, like, the we had the kid, one of the kids from a guy that died on my deployment. His son came with his mom. We had Justin Sullivan flew out there. He airbrushed the kids, oh, wow, some custom shoes while the event was going on. So we had like some people from our unit and stuff there, but as far as outside ticket sales, Goose egg, dude. Goose egg. So we had five comedians, live music, like in between, like we'd have a couple comedians and then music, couple comedians, music. But like to an empty place with like a we had vendors and it was on live stream too, but I'm emceeing it like just like the show must go on, bro. I'm like talking to just nobody.
Oh my god.
So we did that and it was a huge flopper. So that was the last event I did. But then after that, I went to go work in St. Croix to do some storm work and ended up not going through because it was this company that it wasn't the normal stuff that I usually do. It was with a different company and they were doing like roofing and stuff like that. Well, by the time like they were there for a couple months before I was able to get there because I had to do that event. So I did that event and then I was going out there. Well, the grift was up when I was there. So the lady that was in charge of everything, the work wasn't getting started and it was just told to us it was like insurance issues and stuff like that. Well, basically they just stole a bunch of money, ton of money. So when I got there, I didn't get a single paycheck. I was there for like a month and a half. Our buddy had shipped his truck over there. They didn't pay the bill for the truck at the port, so we couldn't get the truck out. And then ICE agents raided the compound that we were staying in and arrested this lady. Dude, it was crazy. You can look it up.
Oh my God.
You can look it up. So it was in St. Croix. So it was this giant debacle. We got paid nothing. I just had this huge failure of an event. And then I'm like, sweet. So yeah, we were kind of struggling at that point, but I'm like, whatever, dude. Now I know what not to do. But now, like, I'm really looking forward to getting established here and being able to start, you know, doing events like that again. Because I do think that we did have a cool formula there. Like, that event in South Carolina was so much fun.
Yeah, we had some fun afterwards, too. But, but yeah, I think every comedian, you know, it's not a good thing, but, like, every comedian has that flop story. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're in the comedy world, you're gonna bomb. Everybody, you know, like, I don't think there'd be any comedian that would stand up and confidently say like, yeah, I've crushed 100% of my shows. And same goes for the organizers too. It's like, everybody's got that bomb story where it's like, that's where you learn though. You know, like if you nail every show, you're going to think you're untouchable and everything's foolproof. And like, now, you know, like the right way and the wrong way and things that work and things that don't. So you're only going to be a better organizer and, you know, comedy raiser because of that. But
I would say short of getting assassinated on stage, that's probably the worst that it can go, dude. And I muscled through it and I'm like, whatever, dude. Now I can.
That is brutal, man. No crowd. Oh my God.
Like a total empty seats, just like a whole jam, dude, with like 12 people in it. Like, oh my God.
It's funny that. It's funny that you say that because one of the events that I had, we had actually pre-sold a ton of tickets.
Yeah.
So we were really excited and it was in a theater. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a great turnout. And part of my obligation for all my sponsors was I had to do a shout out three times a night for all of these shows. And in the beginning of the night, no one had showed up yet. Everybody was coming like casually late. So I was running sound and emceeing, and I like get up on stage. I got my iPad, my microphone. I give the shout out. There's just no one in the room. So I was only talking to six people, super old people. God bless them. But like, they just, they weren't even like clapping when I was like, all right, everyone put your hands together. They're just staring at me.
Like,
what?
A bunch of people showed up. So, oh, during intermission, everybody gets up and goes outside to the bar to get drinks. And here I am again, giving my speech to like four people, same old people. And then the band comes back on stage, everyone hears the music, they come back in, there was like 120 people there. And at the very end of the night, I was like, hey, as soon as you guys get off stage, I'm gonna run out from behind the curtain. So just keep playing music. I want to retain the crowd because I feel like the sponsors would be much happier if they have say that they heard me say this shit. And the band kept playing the music, and I ran out onto the stage. And as soon as I walked on the stage, people started getting up and leaving.
Oh, he's made, back.
And this guy again, yeah.
I made one comment where I was like, everybody really, really appreciate you coming out, la-di-da-di-da. I was like, and if you guys want, there's some band merch that's posted up in the back if you guys want to support the band. And this dude right in the front row just goes, boo! And I did.
That's awesome.
Anything. That's actually ironically one of the moments that made me think I should do comedy, because I feel like in the situation of being like an MC, you have to be polite and proper.
Yeah.
But if you're a comedian dealing with a heckler, like you're in a much better position, like having the microphone to be like, hey, shitbag, don't talk. Yeah. You know, whatever. So, yeah.
Boo.
Dude. In front of the crowd.
Like, dude, there's 10 of us here. I can see you. I can reach you. Why are you fucking yelling at me, man?
It's like, Frank, I'm going to see you at the brewery down the street. It's like, it's like a town of like 1,000 people. It's like, everybody knows everybody.
Oh, and I
like, you're my priest, bro. What is your problem?
You just baptized.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
And I do
see it's hilarious now, but
it's gift. It's like the give and take of having alcohol at your events. It's like alcohol really enhances your events,
yeah,
but it causes people to just stop thinking. So they're like, oh, that drink's on these speakers. Like, oh, I could fuck it.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I had people try to smoke a cigarette in one of them, and I was like, what are you doing? It's fucking 2022. You can't
inside.
With walls around you.
Yeah. Any other crazy stories from any events so far? Has everything gone pretty smoothly?
No, there's a crazy story for every goddamn event. I actually had one old man tell me, he's like, if you no show in the history of man has ever gone without some like chaos. He's like, if you watched the show and it went really well, that's because of where you were sitting. There was something that dude, just yesterday, I've actually been dying to tell Weedy this story because yeah, you're gonna fucking shit your pants out. Can I swear on, is this okay?
No, dude, like you can't swear on my podcast.
You took a dump live, like it's
yeah, yeah.
You know, like anything goes. I feel like
duck it. I don't get any shit.
One up in me. But dude, so yeah, yesterday, so I'm sure Weedy may have mentioned we're going to see Dave Chappelle tonight in Colorado Springs.
Didn't know that.
Oh yeah, no, we're just lucky. Supposed to say anything? Is this a surprise?
I almost got kicked out of his show. I went and saw him, and I almost got kicked out seeing Dave Chappelle live. Well, because I tried to take a picture, bro, and the flash went off, and he goes, "You got phones. Caught." And they came. I was like sneaking ahead like this, and I was like, "I just want one picture of Dave Chappelle."
Oh my God!
I never have my flash on ever. Zero times in my life has the flash been turned on, and then. Pink flash. He goes, yeah, got caught. I like took a picture of the seat in front of me, dude. So he had like the security come up and grab, look at the phone. He's just like, have him delete the picture. Don't make him leave. Don't make him leave. I'm like, thank you, Dave Chappelle. Thank you.
That's a weird way you actually had an interaction. It sucks that you just like irritated him, but that's cool. That yeah, right. Point to you, that'd be even bigger.
Oh, dude, yeah, he called me out directly.
You're lucky he didn't sit there and just roast you for the next 10
right?
minutes.
Right? I wish he did, but
that would have been awesome. Yeah, that would have been pretty awesome. Like, that would have been
all night long. I've been just dayed, like, dreaming. I'm like, dude, I hope something happens. And he sees me in the crowd and he's like, look at this ugly motherfucker, and just goes on.
Yeah,
take a picture and you'll be there.
Yeah, so, take a picture, bro.
Yeah, just take a picture. But yeah, so yesterday, I'm not going to mention which customer it was, but there's a church in town and they hit me up and they were like, hey, we need someone to do this event and everybody's booked. Our guy just dropped out on us, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I really can't do it. I'm leaving for Colorado Springs the next day, la-di-da-di-da. They kept begging me for it. So I threw out a huge quote and I was like, they're never going to bite this. It's not worth what they're doing. They're like, yep, no problem. We'll take it.
Nice.
It got really like any other like tech quote, it got really complicated really fast because they're like, listen, it's really simple. We're just doing an Easter egg hunt for these kids in an open parking lot. And I'm like, as long as you guys have power, I need like 220-amp circuits and my PA is good. I got stuff to cover my PA with for weather, blah, 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 blah. I'll run sound for you. They're like, all right, awesome. The day beforehand, they hit me up and they're like, hey, can you provide power? And I'm like, no, don't own any generators yet. Like I said, you got to do it. And they're like, all right, we'll get you a generator. So now I get a little high and I start just looking online to see like the complications of running all of this power off of a generator. And it gets a little shady. There's some things that can really go wrong. But I just typed up this long document that was like, yeah, if anything happens because of a shortage or surge of power, blah, 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 blah. So I go out there and everything's fine, but it's a huge event. This isn't just an Easter egg hunt. They made a pit of hay that they hid 25,000 eggs filled with. Yep. And they had bouncy houses. They had like caterers out there. They had like vendors and shit like that. And it's this huge free event. So I start setting up my stuff and I'm like, hey, so the stage is right there. Do you mind if I set up my stuff right behind it? They're like, nope, wherever you need, bud, you know, blah, 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 blah. God bless you. So I set up my PA and I put my, I got like a big 32 channel digital mixer. That's like the reason why a lot of my shows even sound good is because it was one piece of equipment. So I have it set up on a table. And they're bringing over like props for like a magic show. And I'm having to tell everyone like, hey, no liquids near the table. I got signs that say no liquids near the table. I had them sign something that said they wouldn't put any liquids near my shit. And everything was running pretty smooth. I was playing music pretty loud. I had some wireless mics going for their announcements. And then they bring a huge 55-gallon bucket on stage. And I see water go up and like splash in it. And I'm like, I said to a guy, I'm like, hey, is that thing filled with liquid? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you can't put that on stage. He's like, oh, we have to. And I was like, you cannot put that on the stage. Like, I repeat, I will just kill all the audio right now, pack all my shit in the trailer 10 feet away if you keep that bucket of water there. And they're like, hold on, let me go get the guy that's running this. So he comes over and he's like, hey, so like, what's the problem? And I'm like, bro, you can't have 50 gallons of water. I just got signs over here. Like, you can't even have a glass of water. What do you think? And he goes, it's for a magic trick. And I'm like, I don't really care. You know, Jesus can fly out of that thing. It's not going to make a difference to me unless he's going to replace my board if it gets wet.
He's like, I'm going to make a magic trick and I'm about to disappear.
Right. I was trying to be really, really nice because of the event. Everyone was in a great mood. Sound guys are always grumpy, so I was trying not to be that guy. So I just got, Beyonce was there with me, and I said, hey, listen, we need to start moving this away from their thing, whether they do that magic trick or not. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near that water. It's a ton of water. They got electric cables running on the ground. People are going to die. So I moved.
Is that the trick?
They were all supposed to rise 3 days later. So I moved to get everything from the table or the stage. And they see me moving this stuff. So they're like, oh, green light. We can do this magic trick now. So some guys on stage is talking. And in the background, there's two dudes with goggles and gloves on pouring liquid nitrogen into a liter so empty soda bottle. And the magic trick is they're going to take the liquid nitrogen, drop the bottle upside down in the water, and then they fill it with more of those eggs, those like plastic eggs filled with candy, and then this thing's going to go shooting like a rocket out of it. As soon as I, like, in my mind put together what they're doing, I'm like, oh, yo, get this mixer away from these guys. I'm like covering it with like plastic tarps and shit. And
oh my God.
The guy drops the bottle in there. They pour all these eggs in there, and dude, nothing's happening, right? I'm behind the stage, so I can see everything that the crowd can't. And I'm like, bro, there's a chemical reaction happening in that thing right now. And I think that they don't know where that bottle is. So the dude's like peeking his head over the thing. I'm like, hey, do that. That's gonna be a very traumatic magic trick for these kids to see. They're gonna have to live with that, pay therapists, because you're gonna get your head blown off. Just as he like pulls his head back and looks at them in slow motion, he's like, I don't know what's going on. Huge explosion. Water in the air. Nobody sees where the bottle goes. And so anyways, everything ends up going fine. My shit didn't get wet. But at the end of the show, they were like, hey, we really appreciated having you here. We would love to have you do some other events. And I was like, I'm going to have to write up a special document for you guys that makes you give me like an itinerary that's so specific that like, I don't trust you. Like that was such a crazy thing to do to me. And the ironic part is I'm about 2.5 days away from being fully insured. I've been having a wicked problem. I can see now why insurance companies don't want to insure me. They're like, oh, you have no idea the assholes that you're getting ready to deal with. But they're going to just explode. You know, you're going to be doing pyrotechnics and shit like that. It's like,
that's so funny.
Yeah. Wow. So,
a 50 gallon drum.
That was yesterday.
Oh
my God, dude.
So nervous. Cause here's the other thing. Like most other companies, like, if they had told me ahead of time, like, hey, we're going to do all these like crazy theatrics with like water guns and this and that, I could have brought cheaper shit with me. Like, I didn't have to bring like all my nicest stuff, but yeah.
Or set up somewhere different. I mean, you could have been, you know, 100 feet one way or the other to be like, let me just get away from the stage, if anything else. I mean, Jesus.
Tell you what, that's actually one other thing that kind of blows my mind is I realize all these events are great. You sell it, you're happy. You set up for it, you get a little nervous. You start executing it, you love it. As soon as little kids get brought around, I just want to start throwing them in trash cans. Little kids are the worst special events. And I had all these little kids standing on my subwoofers and I'm like, yo, if you fall down and like break your leg, I just fucking laugh at you. Like there's nothing to do about it.
No, and the parents are probably nowhere to be found and they're just jumping around on thousands of dollars worth of equipment like it's a jungle gym.
They hired me to DJ an event and they told me, I was like, so what's the demographic? And they're like, oh, it's just gonna be like a bunch of high schoolers. And I was like, all right, sweet. So I downloaded a bunch of shitty music that I thought that they would listen to. And as soon as I got there, it was all little kids. There was no one above the age of 10 and no parents. So hear me out, zero parents. All the parents were inside at a bar. It was an event for a ski club. And all of these little kids came in and I was like the clown at the party. So
and
the kid
truffle butter on.
Dude, they're lights. They were like crawling underneath the stage. So I was like stomping my foot on the stage, getting on the microphone. I'm like, get out from under there. It's not safe. it was the worst $600 job ever.
You're like I did not sign out to be a daycare, dude.
Well, I kept telling the woman afterwards, I was like, I should have put on the invoice that I was like the babysitter, because that's really what you guys had me do. Like, dude, there were kids just there was a s'mores thing, so there was chocolate fucking everywhere, dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sticky hands are the worst, dude. Just leaving fingerprints on all your shit. Like, oh my God. Like, get the fuck away from me, dude.
Kids went home with sticky hands.
Oh, God.
My dirty footprints on their chest.
Yeah. My kid has a size 10 imprint on his sternum. What is going on?
I wonder who kicked him. And it's like looking at Nick's Nike shoe. And then like the Nike, it's like a forensic match. Like, oh, I guess we know who drop kicked my kid.
Get his sticky ass hands away from my subwoofer.
Match the fingerprint of his hand to the fingerprint of my subwoofer, dude.
Stupid words. You can't negotiate with children, bro. Like when I look at parents, I'm like, yo, each one of those speaker stacks is $6,000. That's a $12,000 speakers. And they're like, oh, we don't want to get sued for that. But if you tell a kid, they have the retention span. I'm like, hey, you see that stack of speakers? And they're gone. Like, they don't give a fuck. Kids are ruthless.
Yeah, fuck your
speakers, no concept
bro.
Of money at all.
What I would give to go back, dude. Like, geez, I can only imagine how big of a piece of shit I was as a kid.
Oh, my kid is a perfect genetic code replica of me and everything that I did to my parents as a child.
Oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
He's already,
you got your hands full then.
We have him in T-ball, dude. And first day of T-ball, he hits the ball, he's running, he's on second. And he had to pee, so he just whipped it out and started pissing on second base. And I was like, yep, my kid.
Oh, yeah. My kid. Oh, yeah. If you ever had any doubt, that is like the indicator right there. Yeah, oh, my God. And then that's hilarious.
The dad, like, that was coaching, because you always have like a parent at each base to kind of guide the kids. He just holds his hands up. He's like, he just starts backing up. He's like, oh, who's that? He's like, is this yours?
What do you do? Yeah.
I'm like, dude, oh, come on, let's go.
No shame in his game, that's nope. For sure.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious, though. I loved it.
That is awesome.
It's going to treat him so well by 11th grade, though, all those little girls that were watching him that day. They're like, he's fucking ruthless. It's like he's in pain. He don't give a fuck.
It is a better way to live life than being, like, super reserved and, like, yeah. You know, like, afraid to be yourself. So, I mean,
look at the alternative.
Not a bad thing.
If he would have pissed his pants, someone might have had some level of disappointment, but he knew smarter. He's like, oh, I'm not going to piss in my pants. Like, yeah. That's not how the world works. Sounds to me like your kid's actually.
But he didn't want to get out by getting off the base. So, you know, he just made do with what he had.
Yeah, you piss your pants right there. That follows you right through high school. Like, yeah. Every kid that was there, like, is going to be talking about, like, he's the one that pissed his pants 12 years ago. And it's like, let it go.
I pissed my pants in high school at the homecoming dance and told everybody.
And I see, but that's why you're awesome, because like when you do it, it's cool, but like if I do it, I'm like an outcast and like the weirdo, and it's like, oh,
I was in the bathroom. I wasn't drunk, I wasn't stoned. I was in the bathroom at the homecoming dance with Clinton Kennedy. We had bought like five packs. It was 10th grade. We bought like 5 packs of bubble yum, and we were seeing how many we could fit in our mouth. I had a wad of gum about the size of a softball, and we're in the bathroom. And like we took the gum out and we like threw it against the wall and was like sliming down the wall and we're laughing hysterically. And I'm standing next to the urinal and just start pissing my pants. And as I'm starting, I'm trying to stop, but it's making me laugh even more. So I'm pissing all over. My pants are drenched from like filling my shoes up with piss. So I'm like, can you Clinton call my dad or something? So we had to call my parents to come get me. And then I walk out of the bathroom. I'm like, I gotta go, everyone. I pissed my pants. See ya.
That's the stuff. Like a teacher walks in, like they see the gum on the wall, and they see you standing there in front of a urinal pissing your pants. Like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm gonna shut the door, and in 20 minutes, this better all be gone. And back to normal. I'm not even gonna ask any more questions. Like, I don't need to know.
Just think about how many people like love Duff, and imagine how tragic it would have been if they were like, hey, remember that kid that died in 11th grade because he choked down a piece of bubble gum that was and when they found his body with a smile on his face, like think about great. I'm just saying,
oh my God,
you ever think about the closest that you've ever come to dying in an embarrassing moment like that, like take a moment to just think about all the people that like really care about you that would have been at your funeral. Like, yeah, he just fucking, what possessed him to chew on such gum at once? We have no idea. But now there's now they only sell one stick at a time.
I mean, pissing your pants while standing near or at a urinal is like legendary in and of itself. Like, I mean, you're like in the one zone where it's like, this shouldn't happen.
Oh, like, this should not happen. Pants down.
Like, oh my God. That's like the funniest part. Like, wow. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Was it like the moments where like you're sleeping and you start peeing in your dream and you just feel like the warm liquid and you're like, oh no. Or did you look back? Like, man, I gotta pee super bad. I hope I don't keep laughing this hard.
I was laughing and I didn't even know I had to pee. It started coming out, dude. And I could not stop. Stop laughing.
Like when the mushrooms.
The start of that is hilarious. Like that's how you're spending your day. You're chewing enough gum to like throw it against the wall. Like that's the power of youth. It's like, I want to be able to just, that's a good day for somebody in 10th grade. But it's like, you're just chewing bubble gum and like throwing it against the wall. Like, I don't know. That's just hilarious, dude. Like, what do you want to do? Like, let's go get a couple packs of, like, how do you even get to that point?
I don't know how we got to that point.
Oh, my God.
It was home. Hilarious.
Like, well, dudes, we got about 3 minutes left here because I don't have the paid Zoom. because I forgot to pay for Zoom. So it limits my time when I have three people in here. But is there anything before we cut out that you guys want to talk about for 3 minutes?
We're going to see Dave Chappelle tonight.
I'm so fucking jealous of that, bro. That is so
fun. Yeah, Nick's going to drive down here. It's like a four or five hour drive. So yeah, Nick, when are you going to get here? What time?
Bro, it's snowing. I actually was going to call you in a little while and ask you whether we got the late night or the earlier show tickets. Do you know?
Yeah, we're late. It's the 10 o'clock.
Nice. Good, because it's snowing up here right now. We had summer for like 3 days, and now it's snowing right now. So it's
Where probably.
I'm in Northwest Colorado. I'm in Hayden or the Steamboat.
Okay. I thought you were in the Springs too.
When you said you came to Colorado, and you're like, "Yeah, we were in the southern part," I'm like, "You fucking came to Colorado to go to like Pueblo? Like, where did you go?"
Yeah, we were in like.
No, he was in a nice spot. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in like. What the hell,
Southern Colorado.
What the heck was it? Durango, Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay. Yeah,
it was pretty cool. Durango was a really cool spot. But we were going to make it up. We wanted to go up north, but it was just winter by that time. And we're like, an RV driving up there. Like
sketchy, dude.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's go to Texas, baby.
You got to book DNA. I've seen some people. I know people that like live outside in the winter. You can do it. You really got to be willing to poop outside in all temperatures.
Well, after being stationed at Fort Drum and then growing up in Watertown, then being stationed at Fort Drum and being forced to do the field exercises in like negative 30, where you're sleeping in a sleeping bag in the snow, I'm like, no, baby. I'm never again. I'm getting away from this shit. See ya. I'm still frozen. I'm always cold. I'm always fucking cold. Frozen to the core, bro.
See, nobody can really understand unless they've been up there. I tell people all the time, I'm like, Northern New York has by far the shittiest winters.
Dude,
100%.
Terrible. Whatever. So anyone up here that's ever been like, man, winter's so crazy, I'm like,
bro. Yeah, bro.
Like wiping with more wets, dude. This is just fine up here.
Well, guys,
I shovel like two or three times a year here, so yeah.
We're talking with Steve Weed and Nick LaGorga. We got 30 seconds left. I just want to say thanks for coming on, you bastards. And dude, I'm pumped. You guys are doing well. That you got some shit going on. I want to do an event with you sometime, bro. Do some sort of event.
We're all in business of doing an event. The three of us should get. I'm gonna change back into my normal clothes now.
Yeah, we should do another one, bro. Another one.
Nick brings the audio. You set up the comedy. Boom.
Boom. Yes. All right. Well, let's work on. I'll work on that, dude. I'm gonna get something going. So, all right, guys, go fuck yourselves and have a good day.
You too, man.